When we open the pages of Scripture, we do not expect to step into the middle of a jailbreak. But that is exactly where we find ourselves in the book of Acts. That Peter and the apostles were arrested and thrown into prison. But then, upon their freedom, the Spirit of God leads them right back to the temple to preach, which is exactly what they were told not to do. So when the authorities pick them up for questioning and ask, "What were you thinking?" Peter and the apostles said, "We were trying to obey God, not human authority." It makes me think of Martin Luther King Jr. writing from a prison cell, that letter from a Birmingham jail in August of 1963, that he had read and overheard comments from the paper saying that his actions and the protests had been untimely and unwise. And it was greatly disheartening, partly because those comments were heard on the lips of other ministers. So he sits down and writes, "In deep disappointment, I have wept over the laxity of the church." That Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights movement was trying to obey God above everyone else. And in more than one way, not only was he calling for equality, but also he was doing it in a non-violent way, which is the way of forgiveness. I know that sounds odd to us, because when we think about forgiveness, we think about letting someone else off the hook, not calling for change. But forgiveness is not just a decision, it's also a way of life that the civil rights movement was embedded in nonviolence because it was shaped by the way of forgiveness. It was not motivated by revenge. That nonviolence tries to put down hate. It tries to let go of resentment. It was nonviolent because it didn't want to create enemies along the way. Rather, it hoped to cultivate friends, leading to a different world. That we hear echoes of Jesus in the Gospel of John. "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." When we hear the word Spirit, as Gail Ramshaw says, we imagine the enthusiasm of a toddler. And the toddler room is oftentimes quite spirited. Unbridled energy and constant enthusiasm. But when we find the Spirit of God in Scripture, we don't find enthusiasm or incitement. That in Genesis, God leans down and breathes life into humanity. The same word for spirit as the word for breath, forming us out of the mud on the ground. And then in Ezekiel, God breathes life into a valley of dry bones who have just been laying there in decay in the mud for generations, but all of a sudden they get up and start walking around. And then here in Acts, when Peter and the apostles are freed, the Spirit of God leads them right back into trouble, into the mess of teaching in the temple. That the Spirit of God finds us in the mud and messiness of life, breathing life into this world, which always leads to change. In an article in 2013, they were debating this debacle with the Mississippi River because due to drought, the water level was at a historic low. And the barges that take shipments up and down the river could not pass in various areas. And they were trying to come up with a solution. But raising the water level of the Mississippi River is not like running a hose to the backyard pool for a few hours. This river is much larger than a backyard pool. Well, some were hoping for significant snowmelt at the end of the winter, hoping that would raise the level of the water just enough. Others just prayed for rain each and every day. And if your livelihood depended on these shipments, it was a dire threat. Well, there was another solution that wasn't about raising the water level at all. It was about deepening the riverbed. That one of the worst stretches was between St. Louis, Missouri, and Cairo, Illinois. And in that stretch of the river, they were blasting rock, deepening the riverbed. And sometimes, that's the way of the Spirit of God. Not just filling us up, but deepening our spirits so that we can embrace the way of forgiveness. But it doesn't happen all at once. It never takes place overnight. It happens slowly and over time. It happens through small mercies each and every day. That when we go looking for the Spirit of God, we shouldn't look for something big. We should look for something small. Where the Spirit calls us to the way of forgiveness in our daily frustrations. Where others disappoint us. Or in those old hurts that we have been carrying around for years. Or in that need to prove that we are right instead of overlooking something that is rather unimportant. Or in retaliating because we have been deceived and feel vulnerable. Or in that haphazard tweet or email or post or in avoiding others that are hard for us to deal with. That the Spirit calls us to small mercies, letting go of resentment, putting down frustration, refusing to harbor an offense, that we are called to forgive small. And that doesn't mean that we overlook what is hurtful or harmful. That the civil rights movement stood up and spoke up in the face of injustice. It just means that we speak up in a non-violent way, putting down all manner of resentment. As one writer says, if we hate what is evil more than we love what is good, then we become excellent haters. And the world already has too many of those. That we speak up because we love what is good, not just because we hate what is evil. And in order to do that, we have to practice forgiving small. You've probably noticed, walking around downtown, that anytime you come to a busy intersection full of traffic, that the ground beneath your feet feels rather bumpy, that there's this different texture to it, that standing there when the sidewalk ends and the busy intersection begins that's full of traffic, there's all those bumps beneath our feet. Admittedly, sometimes we walk over them without even noticing. The scientist Seiichi Miyake from Japan had a close friend that started to lose his eyesight. So he decided to invent a way that the visually impaired could navigate a city safely. That in 1965, he created the Tenji block, those textured bumps beneath our feet. They're first used outside of a blind school in Japan, and they went on to revolutionize the world. That they tell us when it's okay to go forward and when we need to stop. And if we know that they are there, we can pay closer attention to them. In our distress and disappointment, we can pay closer attention to the Spirit of God that calls us to forgive small, to notice the resentment that starts to build up inside of us, or that revenge that threatens to take us hostage. That we can hear that calling to the way of forgiveness, which admittedly makes life harder, but it can also make life safer. Calling us to let go of that resentment and that frustration, where we hear Jesus say again, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That the Spirit can call us to stop. Because if we retain the sins of others, they can continue to do harm to us and to this world. Amen.